Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Holy Crap Vlogcast. A vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of the Streisand effect and a bit of spite when somebody on Facebook finally said, "We're just posting stuff because it's fun. It doesn't have to make sense, so take your stupid logic and reason and just go away." Yeah, that works real well on me. As some people have said on many an occasion, sometimes the journey is far more impressive than the destination, and that's exactly the reason why we got this thing started. I am known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me pretty much anywhere under that name. I came into this world as a baby in Brooklyn, New York, to a Roman Catholic family. I grew up on Long Island. I currently live outside of Buffalo, New York, and I currently identify as an unabashed atheist. Joining us this evening is Dallin.
Good evening, folks. I go by the online handle of Dallin. Born and raised in a Lutheran household, with a bit of a twist, though. My parents always told me to keep an open mind and never shy away from learning. And I've always stuck by that over anything else. And as I've made my journey in life, I've experienced a lot. I've had my eyes open to a lot of things. And as of late, I've come to, I guess, a bit of a realization that something I used to just chuckle and nod at, that being organized religion, is becoming dangerous. I wouldn't say I've officially renounced the faith yet, just, you know, for obvious reasons, but I'm definitely on the side of reason, skepticism, rationality, and science. What pushed me over the edge? Watching fundamentalists and their followers make absolute fools of themselves in open media. This has to stop, and I'm on the front lines now.
Also joining us, Unrenowned Tech. Something tells me we've got a problem with audio again. Tech, can you hear us?
We can't hear you.
Okay. Don't destroy the headset this time. Give it a couple of moments and we'll see. No.
Out comes a Leatherman.
All right, we'll come back to you in a couple moments. Also, Joe?
Oh, wrong show, sorry. Joseph Cox, born Chicago, Illinois, to a Roman Catholic family. Spent 8 years in the United States Army. And currently living as a graphic designer in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, identifying as atheist because, well, anybody who ever told you that there's no atheists in foxholes lied.
Okay, and let's try one more time. Tech, what do we got? Nope, no audio at the moment.
We are still experiencing technical difficulties.
Yes, we are. All right, we'll see what happens with Tech in a second. I don't know if you want to drop out and pop back in again. We'll see what happens, but we're not getting any audio at the moment. So we'll see what happens. Also joining us, surprisingly enough, from the left coast of the U.S., it's my privilege to introduce to everybody and to welcome to the show Sam from Ask an Atheist.
Hi. Yeah, my name is Sam. I'm originally from the northwestern suburbs of Chicago. I grew up in the atmosphere of a religious detente. My father comes from a free-thinking, formerly Irish Catholic family, and my mother was a Lutheran. And they made a decision that religion would have a very small interface in my life. It was actually, I think, one of the smarter decisions they've ever made for me. The best it got was vacation Bible school, as far as religion goes. And the only thing I got out of that was bad dates. But so I was raised, I came out of it basically agnostic, and my dad is probably the only person on earth I would describe as militantly agnostic. When I announced, I am now an atheist, clearly, because I do an atheism radio show. And when I told him I was becoming, you know, that I was an atheist, finally, I got no pancakes for breakfast that day. It was a major argument. I now, after a quick detour in Phoenix, Arizona, I now make my home here in Tacoma, Washington. And like I said, I do a radio show called Ask an Atheist. It's a weekly radio show. It started out as a very much in the style of the Atheist Experience kind of television show on cable access in Seattle. But once that station closed up because Seattle needed the money, we transitioned to radio, which is something I've always wanted to do. And ever since then, the show has kind of evolved into something that looks a bit talk radio, a lot of atheism stuff. It's a very different animal from what it started on. We are here in Tacoma on KLAY 1180 AM, in Grand Rapids, Michigan on WPRR, and down in Olympia on KOWALP. So, got to get my plug in there.
Absolutely, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Congratulations, by the way, on all of that.
Very Thank you.
For you.
I like this guy already. Fellow Chicogan,
From Irish, Palatine.
Fellow Irish Catholic. At least, however, your family did not subject you to St. Mary's Nativity.
The
rumors. Okay, my first 3 years of primary school were there, and the rumors you hear about the nuns and the rulers, yeah, they're all true.
Not so much a rumor, eh? Yeah, since you're from that part of the.
No, sorry, I was going to say, so the next time I watch the Blues Brothers, I can say there's truth to that?
Oh. So it would seem. Tech, I believe that is you?
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Joining us tonight on Renown Tech.
We have the technology.
Yes. And by the way, it's not a Leatherman. It's a SOG. Made in America, bitches.
I'm from north of the border, like I give a shit.
Anyway, Tech, go ahead and introduce yourself.
I go by Unrenown Tech, although I'm thinking about changing my name to The Sleeping Atheist.
It'll be your podcast.
And I actually come from a mixed background. My one side of my family is Jewish, the other side is Catholic, which definitely made for interesting family get-togethers. And definitely lots of really good food.
That's actually funny. You share sort of a background with my wife and occasional co-host, Becky. She's got a half Irish Catholic, half Jewish family. And when I met them for the first time, they'd have, you know, they would have like their little arguments and back and forth stuff that families always do. And there was this sort of, and there was a part of it that just seemed really weird to me. It's like, I have no idea of the dynamic here. I have no idea what's going on. And then there'd be a shift in the argument. And then it'd be like, I know exactly what's going on. I've been in this argument before.
All right. So we've got a couple of people who are watching us live at the moment. And for those of you that are, thank you very kindly. If you would like to participate and ask some questions, get some answers from us, the question and answer system is running and available right now over on the Google Hangout page. Just swing it over there and utilize the system. I have no idea where on the screen it is for you, but the exits are here. And we will see what we can do about getting those questions answered for you. For those that might have seen the announcement that I put out, yes, I am actually working on getting a voice line for us to see about people being able to actually dial into us sometime in the near future. There is a story behind that, but we'll save that for a little bit later.
You do realize you have a Google Voice account whenever you have a Google email account.
Bingo! Exactly right. Now, two things before we get started over here. One, I wanted to say, Sam, I'm actually surprised. You don't look very Chinese to me.
Pardon?
I'm trying to remember. Was it you was adopted to a Chinese family? Am I thinking of the wrong guy?
I think you might be thinking of the wrong guy.
Damn it!
No, I think he ate a Chinese adopted family.
No. He wasn't an atheist then. Stop. Anyway. The other piece of it all, I had done a little something last week that had really, really pissed me off on Facebook, and I wanted to share something really quickly at the beginning of it all for everybody. that instead of being a diatribe, might be a lot nicer for folks and really get into the meat and potatoes of everything. Earlier this week, no, I don't have this written out this time. Earlier this week, I was walking up the stairs in the parking ramp where I parked my car before work. Generally speaking, I put it up on the 8th floor because that's the roof of it all, and it forces me to actually get a little bit more exercise as I'm going to work and coming back. Because, I mean, let's face it, walking up 8 flights of stairs, that's pretty good. But something happened this week that was a little bit on the unusual side. As I'm walking up the stairs and looking at the windows, I noticed something as I'm coming up that was very unusual. There was something that was pinging on the glass window, which had my curiosity up, and as I'm getting closer and closer, I'm realizing it's something winged, specifically four-winged. There was a blue dragonfly, whatever species I'm not specifically familiar with, but was banging up against this invisible force field that it did not know how to get around and didn't know why it couldn't get through, so much so that a couple of times it flopped over on its back with its legs up on the window ledge. Now me, I'm not somebody that is really happy with insects or most bugs, but this was one of those times where I looked at it and thought, this guy has been working so hard at this and trying so hard over and over and over again that it's landing on its back and waiting. Now, I went ahead and I complained last time about how our inhumanity to each other, our compassion, is overridden by price tags. And even though I'm not one for enjoying the company of insects, generally speaking, my heart went out to this little guy. So very carefully, I tried to pick this guy up with a dangling piece of wire from my headset, and that didn't unfortunately work because I got him up 3 inches away from the window and he decided, I'm going to try again because, you know. So I actually put my hand out and I picked this guy up on my thumb and guided him away from the window and over to an open section and waited all of 3 seconds before he started to flit away. And I watched this guy as he was flying away, looking like he wasn't quite going to be able to make it, because it looked like he was tired. And as I'm watching this guy finally disappear from my eyesight, I thought to myself, how simple an act of compassion. Where some people would say, the Darwinians in you all, atheists who don't care about life because no God, wouldn't you just leave that thing to die on its own because that's the Darwinian way, the survival of those that aren't stupid? Well, yeah. I guess, yeah. I guess that makes me a really bad Darwinian evolutionist now, doesn't it? So I guess in a way, maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I let a poor, helpless, defenseless insect, of which there are 6 septillion of them out there, maybe I helped just one of them. Does that make me a bad evolutionist? I don't think so. I think that just reinforces how wonderful our humanity has evolved over the millennia.
By the way,
yes.
If you're really not a fan of bugs, saving the dragonfly was actually a really good thing because they eat other bugs.
Yes, they do.
Speaking of someone who grew up in northern Manitoba, which I don't care what anybody from Ontario will tell you, northern Manitoba is, in fact, the mosquito capital of the world.
I think New Jersey might actually have a real close one on you on that one.
Dude, we've got the Asian tiger mosquito here in Maryland, okay?
Yeah, no, I will say close second, okay? Anyways, the fact that you saved a dragonfly, as you were saying that, I just thought, somewhere out there is a child with 5 or 10 dozen less mosquito bites this year because of your actions.
Very possible.
Because I have seen, I don't know if you call them a swarm or whatever, I have seen dragonflies go after mosquitoes It is fun to watch.
Well, it's really
Believe you, I used to not wear cologne because I was wearing too much Muscol in the day to keep the bugs off. I worked at a golf course. Yeah. And yeah, insect repellent was just part of the uniform. I wish we had more dragonflies back then.
Gotta love DEET.
Oh yeah.
It's the larvae that do the most work.
I put that shit on everything.
There you go.
The bugs down here in Maryland are so bad, we've got people who are going on like Amazon or eBay or whatever it is and ordering in what are they called? Praying mantises. Boxes. And they're just letting them go in their gardens. Just large, big-ass quantities of them.
All right, so now that I've got that out of the way,
the ticks.
Yes. The intro that I had for you, Sam, was basically along the lines of that you are more than half of Ask an Atheist over there at KLAY, that you have been broadcasting in some sense or other for damn near 5 years. Congratulations, some of which is actually on actual broadcast, which is pretty damned impressive. You have been... you are currently, as I recall, the president of the... I forget which group it is, and you know what? When all is said and... Thank you. And when all is said and done, you know what? I really couldn't be arsed to figure out the rest of it all. So what are the things you want to go ahead and plug for your own damn self?
Well, the two things that I really do are, you know, the Humanists of Washington and Ask an Atheist. I am involved with Tacoma Atheists here in town, but Tacoma Atheists is more of a social group. Our most salient thing that we have is our weekly bar trivia night. But I was also a former board member of Seattle Atheists, and which is a great organization, and I do continue to work with them. Becky, I'm also a counselor for Camp Quest Northwest. Becky is actually on the board as the curriculum director. I'm actually doing a little bit of curriculum design myself this year. We're doing some radio direction finding, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Ooh, very cool.
Yeah.
With the big antenna from the old days, you know, you had to hold it up with two hands. You had the other guy wearing the earphones going, to the left, to the left, no, to the right, to the right.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, but at this point, fortunately, they're handheld. What are you going to be using, like 2 meters or something?
I'm probably going to be using 2 meters. I've got one of those Baofeng radios, and I'm going to wire it up to an Arduino, and then on the antenna, I'm going to put a bit of an attenuator on it, because that thing, I think, puts out 300 milliwatts at low, and we're doing an on-foot, fairly close quarters, direction finding, a fox hunt. So I need to cut down the power. And then for the actual radio direction finding teams, there are some really interesting plans online for a three-element direction finding Yagi made out of metal measuring tape. And so you're going to be walking around with this piece of PVC pipe with chunks of measuring tape on it.
You guys are just making me feel so bad about the summer camp I have my son going to right now, because this upcoming week they're going to be doing Legos.
And Legos are great!
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to be doing like Lego construction, where they're going to be learning engineering techniques using Legos, and here you are going, where are you going to use metallic tape and antenna directional finding, and it was like, yeah, and I got my kid playing with little plastic blocks. And, oh, damn it!
I'm not sure Legos is the best way to go about teaching structural integrity.
Have you seen what happens when you put Legos under a tremendous amount of pressure?
I know.
They don't shatter. They melt.
It's a whole bunch of stuff. Now, as a matter of fact, we will end up talking about Camp Quest, because that is one of your babies, and it's an incredibly cool thing. I don't have anything out my way, and not something that I can really assist with, so... Definitely going to have to talk about that in a little bit. Now, main reason for the Atheist Visibility Movement. I need to be completely and utterly honest. To the best of my knowledge, your shows
And I say shows because, you know, you on radio and the audio feed podcast afterwards, you are the only one that I know of. Your show is the only one that I know of that specifically uses that term. So I want to find out from you, where did this come from? How is it interpreted for you guys? And where did it start? Where did it come from? Where are you taking it?
Well, I've always been interested in doing media on the internet, podcasts. I've always been interested in radio. But the impetus behind Ask an Atheist, the thing that really got it started, was a guy by the name of Mike Gillis, who's on the show often. When I was on the board of Seattle Atheists, he got on the board, and he had one thing on his platform, which was to do a cable access television show. And he had a lot of thought done there. And as far as I can tell, Mike actually coined the term atheism visibility movement. I'd been dancing around the subject, and we've been talking about it a bit, because I think one of the things that we're trying to do is we're not trying to convert people to atheism. We're not trying to say, leave your religion, you know, become an atheist. I don't think that's something that should be done wholesale like that. I think if you're going to have that conversation, it really needs to happen on an individual basis. Our purpose has always been to just put the atheist perspective out there because it's not. I mean, if you want the religious perspective, it's everywhere. They've got something like 17 satellites beaming out religious programming every second of every day, and that energy is coursing through your body, much like the Force.
Well, it is a force of sorts.
Yeah, but I still have to get up to go get a cup of coffee.
Right.
That's true. Yeah, they've got the force coursing through my body. I feel like I've been molested.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, if this is what the force is supposed to do, I want my money back.
And so to make our point, Mike coined atheism visibility movement. It's not about supremacy. I mean, if you want to know why I think atheism is important and why I think it's a better way to go, I'll tell you. But it's not about supremacy. It's about visibility. Hey, we're out here. Hey, we're not that scary. The only way to do that is through exposure. And that's always been why the mass media thing for us, broadcast, has always been very important. The atheism community, as much as we communicate with it and as much as we hang out with it, they're not our target audience. Our target audience has always been other people. And that's why radio is so important. I know there are people who have been driving down I-5, scanning the AM radio band, looking for something they'd never heard before, stopped on 1180, they were listening to us, and they got it. And they were hooked because we are providing... We're providing a perspective that just isn't seen in the media. I mean, you look at all the statistics that are coming out right now about how well atheists are, appreciated in the United States. And I think that sort of makes the case alone why exposure is important. We're really not that scary.
So it sounds like then the real end game, so to speak, is normalcy. I mean, we're here. We're a normal part of the everyday life of the country and the world, and you don't really need to be scared about something that you think is just not normal because we're just a normal piece. And I'm really trying hard not to be quoting from Agent K right about now is what it comes down to.
That's not too far off. The way I've tended to put it is, we are Americans, we are citizens, and we deserve a place at the table of the cultural dialogue. And there's a lot of people out there that would prefer that we were not there. And the only way we can get around that is through exposure.
Which is a tad annoying. I want to kind of take you into something a little bit specific and... Guys, forgive me if this one is a little bit more local for me, but it's something that's been in national and international notice recently. The Supreme Court's decision on Grease versus Holloway, I believe is the name that was on it. Now, Grease, New York is out my way, outside of Rochester, New York. And for anybody who knows me, I am not going to go ahead and do the joke. The hell with it. Yes, I will. Yes, boss. The Center for Inquiry, and Dallin, this is where you're going to have yourself a big, big grin on your face. Center for Inquiry out here in Buffalo, which is about an hour away from Greece, is trying to get a whole bunch of people together, get on a bus, get together, drive out there, whatever, and pack the place, the town hall meeting, because an atheist invocation is going to be out there.
Ooh.
So there's two pieces about this, and I'm going to give you first stab on this one because you've talked about it before, Sam. What do you think about this kind of visibility for, okay, we finally get our place at the table, like you're saying, and we're going to show how many of us there are, and I also am hoping that you still have a copy of the Satanic Prayer, because I would love to hear that one spoken again.
I'd have to go track it down, but I will do that. I'm actually kind of curious, like, what's your question here? What would you like me to speak to?
I have a concern that something like this will end up becoming more the media event that, oh, look at all these people coming in here and overwhelming the place because now that they're here, they've got their thing, kind of the same way that it had been, well, marriage equality is finally happening. Look at all these gays are finally coming out of the woodwork all over the state for this kind of thing. I'm kind of wondering, and from your perspective, having dealt with a lot of headlines and such, do you see this as possibly becoming a backfire-ish kind of thing PR-wise, or do you think that it can only be a good thing?
I think there are social consequences, don't get me wrong. Even within our own community, the FFRF and American Atheists have sometimes a mixed reputation.
That's
but honestly, if we're going to have rights, we're clearly going to need to fight for them. In the case of of the Greece decision, I kind of had a meltdown on that one on the show.
Yes, you did. And as a New Yorker, yeah. You go right ahead and do that all the time.
But it's, you brought up the, the marriage equality movement, the gay rights movement, the LGBT movement. They definitely had their share of legal interactions. There's a few decisions whose names are all escaping me right now. But, you got to move on multiple fronts. Now, there's the question of visibility, but then there's the question of rights. And there's going to be some interaction, and sometimes, there's going to be some negative fallback, but we have to, I think it's absolutely necessary to fight these battles. I mean, in the case of marriage equality, these battles marriage equality is becoming legal all over the country right now. It seems like states are falling like bowling pins, but that got started through legal battle. That got started through people suing people. I mean, Proposition 8 and all the stuff around that. I really do think the legal perspective, the fighting for our rights as citizens of the United States, I do think that's important. And will it have negative repercussions? Yeah. But tactically, I think the benefits and the end game far outweigh the negatives.
Okay. Dallin, I'm going to take it over for you also, because being that you are on the other side of the border with everything, you've got a different perspective also on the stuff from our side. As I've understood it, basically on the Canadian side, it came down to the legislatures and such coming out and saying, well, here's the question. Should we recognize group blah? Actually, yeah, we should. Okay, motion tabled. Going on.
Yeah. No, it's not really as much of a, as far as I know, anyway. It's not so much a hot button up here. Yes, we do have the things we go after, same-sex marriage, gay rights, abortion. They are still things, and once in a while I will see a pop-up for the local CFI chapter here in Calgary to go and participate in events that we try to motivate things politically. But I don't know. I spend most of my time actually focusing on what I see down south of the border, because as much as I think the Western world would hate to admit it, where goeth the United States, so goeth the rest of us. I mean, you guys are kind of the trendsetters for everything, so we do watch. Well, Joey, it's it can go either way. And I mean, I've said this before. I mean, you guys can either take that step into theocracy, like what Brugenkate wants to have done.
Yeah.
And I'm still, you know what? I really wish we could have gotten Jake on here that one time, because I would have struck a deal with him on behalf of the United States. I, as a Canadian, will apologize for Saiten Brugenkate if Australia will apologize for Ken Ham.
We can agree on that. Bieber back.
No, sorry, Bieber, you're stuck with him. You wanted pop culture, we gave him to you. You're done.
No. We had to deal with Barbara Streisand, okay? We're done with Bieber.
Hey, you're still dealing with Celine Dion. although you did relegate her to Vegas, so, hey, you know, try that tack. I understand there are still a couple of tigers out there.
Oh, God, are we going to have a fat Bieber phase?
We don't want to set Bieber to Vegas, because he might actually get laid and reproduce by accident.
Well, send him to Sigmund and Roy. Don't they still have the tigers there? They still must be hungry. I'm just saying.
We'll send him to a moil with shaky hands.
Oh, wow, we were so...
from the Jew, yes.
Better yet, we'll send him to Amish Wolverine.
I was wondering how long it was going to take us to get there. Damn it. Sam.
The best part is we can track that one now.
We've got to make that one a drinking game, I think.
Yes. We'll come back to that. That'll be the next thing we're going to do. Joe, let me put it over for you on this one also.
No.
I don't know that you've got a specific on this one.
Not really, but I'm very much in the same ballpark as you and Sam in that. Could this backfire? Could this be problematic in the short term? Yeah, it could, because, you know, some people might see it more as a kind of aggressive protest move instead of as a, you know, a demonstration of, hey, we're here too, we count. But in the long run, I do think it is necessary. As to the repercussions as far as short term goes, who knows? Might be nothing. Might be great. But, you know, I am a strong proponent of Murphy's Law, and a very good example thereof. After all, I was an accident, so.
Yeah, well, like you said, you were born into a Roman Catholic house. Tech? I don't know where you want to take on this one.
We have
That can't be a good sound right there. You're starting off with a big sigh.
We have plenty of speculation about what could possibly go wrong and how much could go right. Let's just wait and see and then make corrections from there. You know, just if mistakes are made, well, we'll do what logical thinking people do. We'll find ways to correct the mistakes or move forward using that knowledge so that we don't keep making them.
Tech, why'd you have to use that term?
What, logic?
No. Thinking? You just reminded me of the wonderful, wonderful scene from Dogma.
Which one?
The Catholic, the Holy Mother Church does not make mistakes. Oh, yeah? What about the Crusades? Yeah, or the Inquisition? Okay, mistakes.
Nobody expected the Spanish Inquisition. Come on.
Oh, God damn, we're not going there.
Too late. Actually, I sleep and breathe.
You just blocked Carlin with Monty Python. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, I actually could jump in for a second here.
Sure.
You want to be sort of off to the side here. I was doing a little bit of news hounding, as I am wont to do.
Yes, because Dallin tends to be our unofficial Google bitch, so thank you.
Yeah, or Wiki bitch, depending on how I'm feeling that day. I just actually brought up a thing about demographics of atheism. And Canada here had a pretty interesting entry. This is from a main article called Irreligion in Canada. The exact number of atheists in Canada is disputed, but an Ipsos Reid poll released September 12th, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, I should say, entitled Canada's Split on Whether Religion Does More Harm in the World Than Good. Of the sample, 30% did not believe in a god. Interestingly, the same poll found that of the 33% of respondents who identified themselves as Catholics and Protestants, 28% of them said they didn't believe in a god. So what you're dealing with there, obviously, are cultural Catholics and cultural Protestants.
Yeah, that's a... That's
you know, they identify it, well, the way a Jew would, and I do not mean that in any kind of slurry way possible.
None taken but, on from...
No, but there's the Jewish front, religion.
There is. This is the internet, all I can say.
I know, but there's the Judaic religion, but then there's the Jewish culture.
Right.
And they are separate entities.
Yes. Yeah, and Sam, you had to deal with that with Beck, with the family, and getting to feel that, and you've spoken about it on many an occasion of trying not to be like, I know you so well, so from all the I don't want to be that kind of weird guy, but you've got experience with that.
Yeah, there's definitely, I'd say there's some heavy dependencies between, you know, the culture and the religion. But there are a lot of people, even in my, I guess now immediate family, I'm still kind of trying to remember how that works, that go to temple because they like temple and don't really believe. And that's a population, that's a big population that we kind of got to reach. I mean, one of the things, when I went on tour in 2013, I offered to do some talks, and only Phoenix took me up on it, and they gave me a subject, which I wasn't expecting, but, you know, it was a challenge, called Rise of the Nuns. The religious nuns. And yeah, like specifically here in Washington State, one of the ad campaigns that Seattle Atheists had done was something called 1 in 4. Because statistically, close to 1 in 4 people in Washington State don't believe in God. They don't believe in the concept of a God. But when you look at the statistics, they might not believe in God, but a lot of them believe in reincarnation or horoscopes and stuff like that, and a lot of them don't believe in evolution either. So that's one of the points that I like to make on the show, is that just because they don't believe in God doesn't necessarily mean they're part of what we speak of when we mean the atheism visibility movement, sort of this modern movement that we live in, that NPR calls new atheism.
Yeah, they're not necessarily skeptics, as you would
right.
say.
Right.
Just because somebody's in porn doesn't mean you want to actually watch them.
Hey, I watch porn for the stories. I watch very porn for the acting.
Very short watch there, then.
With friends like these, who needs drugs? I said it before, I'll say it again.
That's true. That's true. If you're watching this live at this time, very much thank you. We understand this is not a, yes, we understand, I understand, this is not a sexy story kind of show, so if you are slogging it out with us, thank you very much. If you're live with us, please, by all means, take advantage of the question and answer system. If you have a question that you'd like to ask us about atheism, the atheism visibility movement, shows from an atheist who are actually surviving on broadcast radio, which is... probably about the best way of putting it, as I've understood it. You guys keep working really, really hard, and surviving right now is probably a good word for it.
Yeah, I would say I'm actually, from the financials of the show, because we are using brokered airtime, at least on KLAY. Maybe changing. But there are some financials involved, and like the studio, I got to build that. But what I've been really proud of is we've been operating in the black the entire time. I mean, just above, but we are. But it's still there. And part of that's advertising, and part of that's our fundraisers. And but a lot of it, I'd say probably at least 30%, is the donation, the tips we get, basically. The donations, the contributions to help keep us on the air.
The challenge.
Peggy's challenge. And if you told me in 2007, when I moved up here, 2008, that the projects that I'm working on would be propelled, one of the primary propulsions for it would be contributions from people who believe in what we do, I wouldn't have believed you. I just wouldn't have, because that's not something I'd ever really considered before, because I was never a particularly an activist kind of guy. So so I'm proud of that. And when I say, yeah, we've been operating in the black, it's not just because we're managing our money, but it's because people believe in what we do. And that has an enormous impact on me and why I keep going, with the show.
Yeah, it's crowdsourced support is really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And congratulations on that. Now, Unrenown Tech had gone ahead and slipped up and used... We don't have very many in the line of running jokes, but ever since we had Noah and Heath on the show from The Scathing Atheist, which I will not ask you if you know of them or have spoken to them. I want you to have a squeaky clean record up until the point where you finally break that glass ceiling, everybody. But when they were on with us, we specifically had mentioned about how Ken Ham looks like, and they had claimed it, the Amish Wolverine. So now that you understand the reference, go ahead.
For a long time, I thought like maybe he had like a face infection or something like that. And he looked like a lichen on his face, like he was part Ent.
Okay, but, I really feel bad now.
got a freaking Hobbit reference in there. We have a Tolkien reference. We have Monty Python. We have Carlin references. What are we missing?
Well, technically, it's a Spaceball reference for the entire show, but that's just from the title.
How many assholes do we have on here?
I know what, I'm surrounded by assholes.
Keep firing, assholes.
First thing is, one, I'm very...
The leaps, the creeps, and the sweeps.
I'm very sorry for giving atheist exposure the wrong mental image earlier. And second, I actually have a question for you, Sam. Being that you have been on what could be identified as public broadcast, you know, you've been on airwaves and all. Mm. Have you ever had an issue along the lines of, you know, the way, you know, Carlin and folks did, where you had a person or group come after you because of, you know, the matters discussed on your show?
Yes.
And I get the funny feeling that that's as far as you want to take that one.
I'm going to have to speak in circumlocutions. Well, actually, for some of it, I don't have to. Because back in the early in the scan days, we had the station. Most of the stuff on the station was people who believed in weird conspiracy stuff. Where, you know, they think ISO 9000 was a license to kill, you know, that 9/11 was an inside job, of course, that, you know, and the reptoids from the planet 17 are responsible for AIDS or whatever. I mean, really, really crazy stuff. And they did not take well to our arrival on the show, and in fact made many intimated several times that we were, in fact, a plant from the Obama administration. In order to keep an eye on them. in you know what? Never mind.
I have to.
KLAY, we're the station we started out on, Sundays are a pretty light day for them, and there's space available right after the show. It's been bought a couple times, but one person in particular, I didn't pick this time slot. God told me to take the 4 o'clock time slot because he told me that there would be people who had never heard of Jesus. And that was her front, you know, that was what she did up front. And when that started, we were like, yes, we have fans. Woo. We get together in the parking lot of the station after the show, open up our car doors, turn up the car stereos and listen. But then we realized that was basically that there was sort of a wedge strategy to this. And she was actually really trying to get us, taken off the station. And, she would try and start fights with people, specifically with, you know, with Mike and Becky. She liked me for some reason. I don't know. But that's not how it ended. To the point, we're still on KLAY, and they're not. And more need not be said.
Somehow I
that
get
means the case is still pending.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to do you know, the facepalm of the night based on all that conspiracy stuff you just said there, but I couldn't bring myself to it because I think I would have injured myself tonight. That was still facepalm worthy. Ask these guys. It's the shtick.
Yes, he is the one for which the weapons grade facepalm was coined.
Yeah, I live and breathe it. I've never met Seth Andrews. I really do want to meet him, though, because it was actually that phrase that got me listening to him. Like, that's right. What I thought was, somebody said that, and I went, okay, I got to check this out. And I've been a fan ever since.
I've only managed to talk to him once and on the show. I don't actually get out to conventions or anything like that very often. Mm-hmm. I really like talking to Seth Andrews. It's actually... I really love radio. I think I've made that clear. And he comes from, you know, he did religious broadcasting, and when he was on the show,
he's got great pipes too, man.
Oh yeah, he's got really good pipes.
He's done his stuff, you know.
Yeah, and so I could feel us sort of edging closer and closer to the conversation on the show becoming really inside baseball, because it's like, I wanted to talk about broadcasting and da 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 da, and I was like, I kept kind of veer away. No, there's a topic. Stay on the topic. And so, yeah, I don't know where the hell I was going with that.
Actually, I did have the chance. Imagine No Religion was this year, and it was not too far away from where I live. But unfortunately, just timing and scheduling and everything, I wasn't able to make it to my...
Is that Kamloops?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, I was going to mention, I listened to Ask an Atheist through iTunes. It's the only way I can do it right now. And the advertisements are rolled into each episode. And I found it really interesting that they're doing advertisements for the city of Edmonton, which is three and a half hours north of where I live. I was just like, oh, so there's a bit of a Canadian presence here, too. This is good.
We have a fair number of... Canadian listeners, that cool. I've heard the part of the world I live in called Baja Canada, and I kind of believe it.
I've been down to Seattle once, and actually I drove with some friends of mine, so we got to see, you know, the countryside and everything like that. Yeah. Absolutely beautiful, I gotta say.
I do like it out here. Yeah.
Well, in the intervening years, I've the job I have now, I do get to travel quite a bit. So I've been to Texas a couple times, Oklahoma quite a bit, flown through Phoenix, and I still say flying into Phoenix feels like I'm flying into a Frank Herbert novel. We'll just leave it at that.
A friend of mine had a saying about Phoenix, is that living in Phoenix is kind of like living on a moon colony. There are no plants, and all the culture comes from somewhere else.
Yeah, well, okay, I was only in the airport, so I didn't really get to see too much of the aforementioned culture.
Yeah.
But flying in was like honestly, I was hearing the theme to the 1980s Dune movie. That's what it felt like, you know.
But it's a dry heat.
It doesn't matter. Geez. It's still too damn hot. You forget where I'm from.
You learn that cop though.
But yeah, getting the chance to go down to Washington State, it was so green and it was so nice, and the people that I ran into, with the exception of the border guard, I mean, polite as they were still kind of okay. I knew we were in trouble when we walked into the. They actually pulled us out of the car because three guys traveling south into the U.S. Yeah, that's cause for alarm. They pulled us into the office, and I looked up on the screen on the TV, and they're watching Fox News. And I looked at the other two guys, and go, "We are screwed." That's all I could think of. But no, we made it out. We had nothing to hide, so you know, we weren't terrorists or anything.
Another Spaceballs reference. Everything's so green.
Like I said before, I lived here.
Part one.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Still Mel Brooks. Yeah.
It's good to be the king.
I lived in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area, for about 7 years, and moved there in 2000. Left in at the end of 2007, and I mean, I got used to it there. I really like the desert. I still really like the desert, but it's not the same as living around so much living stuff. Not to mention the really strong brewing tradition that they do around here. My brewery is literally about 10 feet that way. And last couple of weeks, I've started my first hop farm because you can grow them here, which is Dan had a Golden's Hops rhizome that he had to move when he moved. He said, "Hey, would you like some of my rhizome?" And I'm like, is that a euphemism for something? Like, no, actually. Okay. And he's like, so now I've got I've got a huge hop farm. Well, it's tall because I've got a 20-foot 2x4 and twine hanging off of it so that the vines can grow up it. And so
Sam, that sounds suspiciously like a setup in Minecraft now. What are you talking about? I'm sorry. Yeah, I had to make that joke. I had to do that.
I grow kettles.
Sam, I don't know if you've watched any previous episodes of the show, but this might strike you as fun. One of the many breweries here in Pittsburgh is one called the Church Brewworks.
Oh.
It is a formerly decommissioned Roman Catholic church that was bought by two guys. It's a historical landmark. They went ahead and restored it, and they turned it into a brewery. And they even used parts from the organ for the
the tubes and such.
Yes. It's not a distiller. You don't call it a distiller if you're making beer.
No, that's a very different thing.
What about the brewery? Yes, the brewing mechanism itself.
Yeah.
I have actually been to that church. Call it a pilgrimage, if you will. I am a beer snob. That's the other thing I love to do when I travel is finding the craft beers, the local brew, the local microbrews, finding them, sampling them. I found so many good ones, but I finally did make the pilgrimage to the church brew pub, where the altar was turned into the actual brewery itself. The confessional booth is where they keep the hard liquor, and it's been turned into a bit of a restaurant. And I will say that I ordered their little sampler, so I got 8 5-ounce shots of beer. And say what you will about craft beer, but after the first three, I pretty much found religion because I was completely blasted. They make some strong shit there, let me tell you.
Some examples
didn't
include...
you say you were Canadian?
Okay, my defense, all I'd eaten that day was 2 maple bacon donuts.
You're Canadian?
God. Examples of their house brew include Celestial Gold, Pipe Organ Pale Ale, and Pious Monk Dunkel.
That one, the Pious Monk Dunkel, is actually one of the best ones they've made.
Very hey, smooth. Monks know how to party, man.
Dunkels are hard to do. Well, there's I think it's pretty well known that there's a lot of beer out this way. Although,
no,
there's, yeah,
come on,
there's
really?
I actually got to try one on Seattle called Kilt Lifter.
Yeah, Kilt Lifter. I think it's out of Rogue.
My idea of a Kilt Lifter usually has about double Ds.
Actually, our buddy Conrad, you guys might know him. He's the one that introduced me to it when I was down there.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Well, IPAs are very popular around here, where it's like a little bit of malt and 500 tons of hops. And while I like hops, I have sort of a sensitivity to them, so I have to be careful about it, which is part of the reason why I brew myself. But my take on brewing is on beer is if light is passing through it, something has gone wrong.
If you'll pardon what I'm about to say, but amen, brother.
Didn't I already say that?
You might have, Tick. You might have. Oh, great. Now there's a reference in there somewhere that I don't remember where I just grabbed that from. I know what it was. It was a Bugs Bunny reference on my part without realizing it. Yeah, you might, Rabbit. You might.
I was about to go there.
Thank you. Boy. Okay, so we've... That's okay. That's one of the reasons why I love having done this show and started it off, because between the beginning, between the question and the answer, there is so much stuff to cover. As it's positively amazing to me sometimes where
we
can
end
up. We still end up sidetracked, but when all is said and done, we still end up with good information that really fleshes out a lot of pieces.
Hey, one word, Velma.
I'm not sure what to do with that.
You were talking about finding out information and fleshy bits.
You know, we're never going to end up on a cast at this rate. Never.
Actually, Sam, I did have one question. Getting back to atheist visibility and exposure. And I made mention of this before we went on live about the atheist TV network that's coming out.
Yes.
Now, you had said that you had started off as a TV show like The Atheist Experience. Given that this venue is going to be coming, is there any future plans for Ask an Atheist to go back to video, or are you going to try to keep it just with radio for now?
It's amazing how many people prefer, how many people like video, but then they put the video on and don't look at it. It's a weird thing. We're actually interviewing Dave Moscato this weekend about the TV channel. And I suppose that may come up. But were I to do video now, I don't know if you've seen a lot of talk radio. Howard Stern doesn't count because they actually care about, they actually do like actual production for the TV side of that. But Tom Hartman, Jerry Doyle, Dennis Miller, Rush Limbaugh, they've all got sort of a video component of their talk show. And the production values are not great. It's usually one or two cameras, fixed positions. And because the focus is on the radio production, that's probably the direction we would go. But we're a little bit, I'm still putting together a studio just for the radio show right now. And like I said, on the 200th episode, I'm basically building it out of garbage and open source. So, we're a bit away from that. But one thing you were talking about about this show is one of the advantages, and this is something maybe a lot of people don't realize about the show. About being on radio is we have 56 minutes, 50 seconds. That's how long our show is. That is all we get. If we go for the airtime, we're just cut off. They just move on to the next thing. They do the top of the hour break. And that has happened a couple times. Only a couple times. My professionalism, sense of showmanship always goes crazy.
Sure, we'll go with that.
commercials?
Yeah, we've got all the timing of atheists on air on this show.
Yeah. And that's so we have to be very careful about stuff like that. So people have wondered, like, why do you guys move so quickly over subjects, or why is the show so fast paced? Well, two reasons. One is that. Two, I would very much like to render the double speed button on iPods obsolete because I hate that button.
I can absolutely understand it. And that's part of the reason why we wanted to... when we first started this off, and we was really trying to feel our way through it, we ended up at about 2 hours because that's what I was feeling at that point. And it was like, you know what? I'd really much rather have it as an hour because people who want to download this and listen to it as a podcast, and I've actually had a question about hosting a audio-only version as a feed somewhere, and I'm not doing a bet. But doing 2 hours at a time each time, I can't really feel that. But an hour and a half really feels like there's time enough to get everything done. And Sam, you know full well, I was lucky enough, I had some time for myself to do college radio for a little bit. I fell into it. I'll tell you that story another time. But you know full well, half an hour goes by in a blink of an eye.
Yes.
15 seconds of dead air, and oh my God, it's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, there's so much weird. Basically, you count seconds and ignore minutes.
Yeah.
It's really strange, and my sense of time has actually sort of changed because I'm doing all of this audio production stuff and having to fit in these very specific wedges. But yeah, if there's dead silence for more than 2 seconds,
2 seconds. Yes, exactly. I'm like,
no. And you know, not to mention that if there's too much dead silence, we're actually in violation. You're really not supposed to do that on a radio station. And that's something that we have to be very careful of. We've never gotten in government trouble. And we actually kind of hold ourselves to a slightly higher standard than a lot of other radio shows of our ilk do, as far as language goes and stuff like that, precisely because, I mean, this is the atheism visibility movement. The whole reason we're doing the show is because people don't like us. So... Yeah. Let's not give him a reason.
Yeah. Tech, seeing as how I'm suddenly realizing you haven't exactly had a question as yet, I don't know, did you have anything that you wanted to pose through? Because, I mean, I don't like to leave anybody out.
Not really. I mean, you've got a movement going on to make people more aware of, hey, you know, we're not as small as people make us out to be. We're not as bad as, well, most of us aren't as bad as people make us out to be.
I'm right here.
Yeah, but you know what? You're hiding behind a pair of sunglasses, so.
Hey, my future's that bright.
Yeah. I gotta
He's wearing his sunglasses at night.
Because when you're cool, the sun shines down on you 24 hours a day. Name that one, genius.
That would be the British Empire back in the 1800s,
no,
I believe.
No. Anyway, you guys are really covering anything that I would possibly have questions for.
Well, that's good. That means that I'm actually doing a better job than I thought that I was doing. All right, that's good.
I'm trying to also take a back burner because I can tend to talk over people. So I'm trying to do less of that.
Appreciate it. All right, since we had touched on it earlier, going to hit about... the three great commercials that you guys have got. I will admit, on the online 80s radio shows that I do, mainly out of Second Life, I have had times where I have played those commercials for Camp Quest, and I have had people who at first were just like, wait, what? Just happened? What? Wait, what? Would you kindly explain shortly Camp Quest and these wonderful commercials? Because you've talked about them on the show before, and I loved the story behind them.
Oh,
Camp Quest.
Well, Camp Quest is a national organization. There's Camp Quests all over. There's one in Ohio, I believe. One in West Virginia, there's one in a couple in California. They're putting one together in Oklahoma. Camp Quest Northwest started out in 2012. Our inaugural camp was that year, I believe. Well, actually, what kind of helped it get started is one of the things that actually, if the world knows about us, it's probably because of Countdown to Backpedaling, which was a segment that, again, Mike got started back in 2011. Basically doing a countdown to the Herald Camping End of the World, if everybody remembers that. And we had a rapture party, a post-rapture party. Yay, they're gone! You know, that sort of joke. It was, you know, all tongue-in-cheek.
I bought fishing lines so I could have people balloons as they floated away.
It was originally going to be kind of a small fundraiser. Wasn't going to be that big of a deal at Dorky's Arcade here in Tacoma. And it didn't stay that way. Mike got interviewed on Como, the local news radio station. I got interviewed by Reuters. And then from there, the BBC picked it up. And people around the world were, our hits on their website went way up. And then way down the day after. And so we did it as to raise money for the show. But one of the other things that we did with Seattle Atheists was something called Rapture Relief, which was you give this money to Seattle Atheists because we're not going anywhere if the rapture were to occur. And once the rapture occurs and everybody leaves, we'll have this money, which we can use on emergency services and food and other post-apocalyptic type stuff. Now, if that doesn't happen and the rapture does not occur and there isn't this apocalypse, all this money will go to Camp Quest Northwest to get it off the ground. And then in the early days of the show, or in the early days of Camp Quest, when they were just putting things together, Chuck Wolver, the guy there, I was like, yeah, we might do our first camp in 2013. 2014, we'd be really far away. Yeah, we would need to move really slowly to make sure we have enough money to really pull the trigger on this properly because there's a lot to a camp. And then with all the attention that that we got from the Countdown to Backpedaling and from Seattle Atheist Rapture Relief, after all that one, he's like, yeah, we're doing it next year. It was honestly one of the most successful things I think I've ever been attached to as far as that goes. But the commercials themselves, there's not a lot of story for me there because I'm almost sad to say it, but no, I'm not sad to say it because they did some great work. I didn't produce those commercials. Those were done by Steve and Kyle and John. Trying to remember last names, but local Seattle Atheist guys who put it together just one evening. And yeah, there have been times where we've gotten more feedback about those commercials than we have about the show. So,
well, they're fun commercials.
They are. They really are.
And I think one of the things that really impressed the hell out of me the most was when you guys were interviewing about it, and they were talking about how the cutesy pieces, the interactions between Little Billy and the devil were just totally ad-libbed.
Yeah.
Hey, Billy, want to buy a battery?
The
look on Joe's face is priceless.
No idea. But I would... You know what, I may get myself in a little bit of trouble, but I'll ask, do you think that they would have any problem that somebody who they're not paying is occasionally playing their commercials once in a while?
I doubt it. I really quite doubt it. They like the exposure. I've done episodes on Camp Quest every year. I may do one this year, but it's going to be different because I feel like I'm going to that well one too many times. I did one where we were interviewed, where I had counselors interview campers. Last year, it was I went in with basically no preconceptions for the show. I was just going to let the kids decide what they wanted to talk about. If I do something this year, it's probably not going to be focused quite on the campers as much because, like I said, I think we're I don't want to go to that well one too many times, but man, the 2013 Camp Quest episode was, like I said, I went in there with no preconceptions about what we were going to do. And the stories that these kids told about, you know, what it was like being a non-believer in, you know, in faraway places in the Pacific Northwest and beyond, and the kind of things they faced at school when it became obvious that they were a non-believer, I had not expected that at all. And that's really the kind of episode I like doing, where I get to, like I get to learn as I'm doing it.
Yeah, some good stories from a lot of those kids, and that was entertaining. That was really eye-opening to hear how so many of them were just like, you know, I feel like I can just be me here, and not always. We don't always get that opportunity, and it doesn't necessarily need to be those that are of any particular theistic or non-theistic bend. It could be gender identity, it could be sexual orientation, it could be just being from a different culture here in this grand melting pot that is the U.S., which is so not that sometimes, which is damned annoying. What are you drinking? There's no drinking in baseball. What are you?
It's seltzer water.
What?
Yeah.
You know, Shujin, it's I find it interesting when they always talk about the melting pot. I grew up in a mining town. In particular, I grew up in the town where the minerals were shipped, milled, and smelted. And I'll tell you a little something about mining pots, melting pots. Hope you can edit that one out at some point.
Yeah, we'll just do it real quick on that one.
We'll do it. To hell with it, we'll do it live. An interesting thing about melting pots.
They melt things.
They do. But things tend to settle out. Like copper and, well, okay, at that temperature, zinc turns to a gas. That's another story entirely. But, when you're smelting metals by using melting pots, they do tend to separate. So I'm beginning to wonder if maybe the analogy of the melting pot maybe isn't as good an idea as some people might think it might be.
Well, I think that the melting pot analogy comes less from the technical metallurgic approach and more the gastronomic approach, the culinary.
Yeah, like fondue is kind of what I always thought. Although, if we're talking about cultural melting pots, the only time I've really been in a place and had that feeling was, ironically, in Vancouver.
Oh, you felt like cheese in Vancouver?
I did. Well, no, I feel like cheese everywhere.
I would expect more of that feeling in San Francisco.
Okay, time for another reference. Cheese for everyone! Wait. Cheese for no one.
If you're feeling the happy vibe in Vancouver, I'm going to lay the blame on the BC Bud there.
Something to that.
I don't think you actually need to sample it. It's just that there's so much of it in the air, you get the contact high or whatever.
Yeah.
As I have smoked on here pretty much since we started, just in case anybody's quite wondering what's going on here. Yeah. No. Now, let me make this perfectly clear. I do not touch the stuff, but I firmly believe that, you know, a human being should have the right to put whatever the hell they want into their own body so long as they're not causing injury or harm to another human being. That said, you know, drink as much as you want. Just don't get behind the wheel.
Really quickly, Sam, I got to hit you with one more.
Okay.
Because of what Joe just said, I have to hit this one, and this is probably going to get people to really hate me on this one.
Washington State, I'm assuming?
Proposition 8.
Yeah. Oh, Prop 8.
You
the
guys...
one in California.
Yes. And the subsequent happening over there with, was it 74?
It was 74, yeah. Proposition 74, yeah.
Oh, you guys, for those of you that don't know, Ask an Atheist, generally speaking, as a rule, does not get involved in politics. They will discuss what's happening with stuff, but specifically stays out of, does not put a dog into the fight.
Wait a minute. So what you're saying is they don't do what churches do, but the churches shouldn't be doing.
Okay, now see, now you're just getting into an unfair analogy over here, and that's just wrong.
Wait, is it unfair because it's true or other?
You know what? Let's not go ahead and beat I was going to say
a living horse,
but that's probably a bishop, but that's a whole other euphemism I don't want to get involved with right now. You guys finally decided you were going to go ahead and put a dog in that race.
Well,
how hard was that decision, considering that you guys had a long-standing tradition of we're not getting involved?
Yeah, I mean, people tend to see the atheists and rationalists as politically liberal. And one, that's not true. And there's another side of that where people seem to think that conservatives hate us and liberals are okay with us. That's not true either. They have problems on both sides. And as far as I'm concerned, the anti-science stuff in the GOP national platform merely makes them more honest, not more anti-science.
Because I suddenly realizing this is a little bit more inside. Proposition 74 that was happening in Washington State was something similar to Proposition 8 in California, the marriage equality piece. And I just suddenly realized I hadn't really explained that for folks.
Well, marriage equality was passed by the legislature. And Washington State has a big initiative system, a lot of direct democracy stuff. And so people, mostly in Eastern Washington, there is a definite physical divide between Eastern Washington and Western Washington, thanks to the Cascades. And that divide also happens to be a political one as well. But there was a proposition passed, which is basically... We want this to go to the voters. The voters should have to vote this. And what happens in that case is that Proposition 74 had the exact wording of the bill that the state legislature voted on. So it was a vote yes on this and you get marriage equality, but it had gotten on the ballot because of people who oppose it. But the way we put a dog in that race was, and it started way back when we were still on television. So back in 2010, me, Casey, and Mike, at the time there were three producers, were having a conversation. We should say, you know, it's like we want to have an opinion on this. We all feel very strongly about this. I've been an LGBT supporter and gay, you know, marriage equality activist for far longer than I was an atheist activist. And so I saw a direct connection, but that's my opinion. I wasn't ready to export that. So we took it to the air. We took the question to the air and we asked for about 6 months, are there secular reasons to be against homosexuality or marriage equality? Please send it to us. And we'll talk about them, and we'll see if there is something there. 6 months passed. There were three major arguments. One was marriage as a civil concept is stupid, which is kind of arguing something not what we're talking about, and is a conversation for a very different day. And the ick factor. There was the third category with some folks in Atlanta that we got into a scuffle about, but that was a very different thing. But the only thing that anybody came up with was the ick factor, or it violates some unstated law of nature, which to me just seemed like deism in disguise. So after about 6 months and not hearing anything, and you know, we said, hey, we're still open to these arguments. If you've got them, keep bringing them. But as far as we're concerned, there is no secular reason to be against marriage equality. And so when Referendum 74 happened, this was the opportunity. I'd always wanted to have been in a state that, this is a moment I've been waiting for a long time, you know, more equality, you know, less religiously driven government stuff. And I was really happy to do that through the guise of Ask an Atheist. And this was something I had never expected, that my work in the atheism community actually caused me to do a lot more for some of the other stuff that I cared about that I never expected. And that was sort of a nice side benefit. Now, so we did one of our vaguely well-known streamathons where we sit in front of the camera, much like this one, for 24 hours. And
yes, I was there for one of them.
Yeah. And so we did one for Referendum 74, for Referendum 74 supporters to you know, pass marriage equality. And weirdness happened, which I'm assuming you're going to want me to get into.
No, that's okay. We can save that for another day, assuming that you can convince, you know, the lady that you want to hang out with the guys again. Joe, you looked like you had something that you wanted to hit up.
It's funny that we touched on this because, oddly enough, for those of you who know me, I'm a veteran who is just now starting it to get into college. I did actually accomplish my associate's degree. I'm now in pursuit of my bachelor's.
Dude, congrats.
So yeah, it's kind of a rough time dealing with 18-year-olds when I'm pushing 30, but
yeah.
Anyway,
right there. I'll tie them. And a little bit of chloroform.
But it's funny you touched on that particular argument about the whole non-secular same-sex stuff, because one of the classes I had this quarter was ethics, and it had come up, of course, many things have come up in the class, animal rights, death penalty, stuff like that. One of the things that came up for one of the very last meetings for the class was what they call natural law, which
yeah.
They try to put as the non-secular approach against equal marriage rights. Good examples. They define it as anything different than the biological function is wrong. Which, you know, if it doesn't
result Well, good night, everybody. I have to destroy everything I own.
Exactly. Their argument is that if it does not fit the biological function of a human being, of the human race, which to them is to reproduce, then it's wrong. And they also go on the same argument that pornography is wrong. Why? Because their argument is pornography is wrong because it falls in the same purview of being hungry and instead of eating food, eating a picture of food.
Who is they in this circumstance?
I don't know. It's just one of the things that was purported during the class.
Okay. I was wondering if this was a conversation you were having in the class or something.
Well, yeah, it was a conversation we were having in the class, but they deliberately remove certain sources so that we don't get to finger pointing in the class. We just focus on discussion of the topic.
You can't vet their claim. They don't let you vet the claim then. That's interesting.
Well, No. It's not necessarily that. It's just that nobody's trying to say this is right or this is wrong. The object, it's an objective class. It's
to argue the claim.
Here's the topic, discuss.
Okay. Yeah, to argue the claim on the merits of the claim, not who made the claim. Which, okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good tactic in that case.
Very, very good teacher, very good.
And actually, when you brought up the thing, Sam, about non-secular reasons for marriage equality, or against marriage equality, this reminded me of another podcast. Shujin knows where I'm going with this, I hope.
I'm pretty sure that I do, yeah.
Okay. I don't know, Sam, are you familiar with a guy by the name of George Hrabe?
Oh, boy.
Yes, but I can't tell you why.
Okay. No, he does a show called The Geologic Podcast. He's been doing it for quite a few years now.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of his. Actually, thanks to CFI, I had a chance to meet him a few months ago. It was awesome. I've been listening to the guy for years. finally get to shake his hand and, you know, talk a little bit with him was great. But to my point, one of the shows he did, this was back in 2011, in November, there had been a manifesto posted by the Ruth Institute. And it was, they had listed it off as 77 non-religious reasons to support man-woman marriage. And apparently it was, you know, bullet points of whatever. And he decided he was going to take this, and line by line, he dismantled it.
Ooh.
Like, he rebuked all 77 points. He spent about an hour doing it. And, I mean, he pulled no punches. It was just awesome. So, you know, pardon the presupposition here, but that tells me that if you can come up with 77 supposed non-religious reasons against marriage equality, and they can all be rebuked in an hour, then that tells me there is no secular reason or non-religious reason for or against marriage equality.
Yeah, the naturalistic fallacy stuff really, really bothers me. Like, I keep the name of some diseases on tap so that I can say things like, oh, we should follow natural laws, so trying to get rid of harlequin ichthyosis is something we should not do. You know, it's like, you can fight disease.
Harlequin ichthyosis. Isn't that where everybody ends up looking like Harley Quinn from, you know, with the Joker and all that?
Well, it's a keratin overproduction thing. It's a congenital keratin overproduction. So their skin is constantly building these outer layers, so it's and up, so that they're and the thing is, most of these babies, when they're born, they die fairly quickly, usually from infection, because their skin isn't doing its job. It grows into plates, you know. But that's, you know, diseases like this, those are natural too. And I think this goes to what you were saying about dragonflies in the beginning of the show, is this is something people don't get. I evolution is true. That is how it has worked. But, I mean, that doesn't mean that ever. That doesn't mean that that's what drives me. You know, it's like, to me, there's, I'm, it's a sort of a talk I'm thinking of, or trying to think of it, is like, there's really only two things to me. There's the world of evidence and the world of aesthetics. And, you know, the scientific... And the scientific stuff, yes, scientifically, Darwinian evolution or whatever is how creatures came to be. But aesthetically, that doesn't mean I want to run my life that way. That doesn't mean I'm going to toss my baby into a field and sing Born Free at it.
Throw him over a cliff every once in a while, and you could have yourself one badass bunch of Greeks, but that's a whole other thing.
You know what? I will bump them with their own game. You want you want to go naturalistic arguments against marriage equality. I'll go with 1-4. Everybody's talking about how, oh, the world's overpopulated, and you know, I'm a strong proponent of this idea. The world is overpopulated. There is such a thing as too much. What happens when a certain, look at it from a biology standpoint, what happens to a predator species when they grow too large in numbers for their given environment? They eat too much of their prey species, and they eventually start starving. It's the way nature balances itself out. When one species grows too big, the other is either too large or too small, and, you know, somebody starves, or somebody ends up having too many numbers to support themselves, and, you know, nature balances itself out that way. We don't function that way because we outwitted nature in some aspects, not all of them. We have developed.
But there's still that big rock out there somewhere with our name on it. Don't forget.
Yes. We have gotten to the point where, as far as what's here is concerned, we have outwitted nature in a odd way, and that natural system checks and balances just doesn't work for us anymore. And right now, we're our own biggest predator. And we still have yet to get over that. But I'm a strong proponent of the idea. If you're arguing that, you know, the planet's overpopulated, what's the problem with, you know, two same-sex or a same-sex couple getting married? They're doing you a favor. Shut the hell up already.
People have such a problem with homosexuality, they should start addressing the straight couples because they're the ones having gay babies.
There is that.
This is where my humanism comes in a little bit, and I got to say, for every John Malthus, there's a Norman Borlaug. You know, everybody keeps saying, "Oh, it's overpopulated. We're going to destroy the Earth," but then we keep figuring other stuff out, and that's sort of that narrative. Not to say that there isn't going to be some super bug that wipes us out, or we're going to, you know, get all Deep Impact or something, but you know that. I tend to be a little bit of a misanthrope here and there, but if I look at the long course of history, things are getting better, people are getting healthier, we're more tolerant of each other, even though we're getting more crowded. Think about that. There are more of us, you know, in one place, and we're all getting more tolerant of each other. That's generally, you know, ask Sartre. That's usually not how that works. So that's sort of where my humanism comes in a little bit. I don't know that I want to say that we're overpopulated, in as much as, you know, there's just too many of us, we can definitely talk about the ecological impact. Yeah. That's a different thing entirely.
Well, my what the?
Yeah, tech has gone ahead and, yeah, it is a good day for science.
Did you imbecile? Anyway.
Well, what I think, though, too, is, like, we talk about overpopulation, yet there are more people, if I remember this correctly, there are more people living in the state of California than there are in my entire country. Yet, from a geographical standpoint, I believe Canada is larger than the United States. No, you want to talk square footage. Yeah, no, you want to talk square footage. I think we got more real estate. Granted, it's not all, well, for lack of a better term, it's not all California. You know, it's not all
habitable.
It's habitable, but let's just say it's not as luxurious or as temperate as some people would like.
Let me get this ready.
But well, all I'm
you know, Valen, if you really want to get that population rate up, just start counting the mooses too.
Not to mention,
hey, get me into the Alaska laws about moose again. Okay, I've had that 3 weeks in a row. I don't need it anymore. But to my that. There is a lot of real estate out there that is just not being utilized for the human population. So I think there's still a lot more we can do. There's a lot more places we can populate. It won't be easy for a lot of them, but it's still there. You know, and quite frankly, you know, yeah, up here we have days where the weather sucks. I mean, I know what it means. When I say 40 below, I know of which I speak.
Oh, yeah.
But I like it up here. I like, you know, yeah, we're pushing 1 million people, but you wouldn't think it. Unless you're stuck on that one particular road on rush hour, which I am every day, but that's another story entirely. No, there's lots of other places. Like, if you're worried about it being too overpopulated, come up here. Yeah, we're not really as overpopulated as you might think.
Yeah, and God damn it, Sam, I feel so bad for you with your commute for when you have to do your shows. I mean, Jesus, how you make it into the studio on time is just beyond me. Absolutely.
It's been a very close thing a couple times. I mean, there's like, I'm out having a conversation trying to get an interview all set up, and then I look at it, and it's 3:02:50, and I'm like, oh, wow, we go in the air in 10 seconds. So I got to run up 2 flights of stairs, run into the studio, slam the door, hit all the buttons. Welcome to Ask and Ace. Yes, somebody else.
Never heard that before. Nope, never.
Okay, so if you're designing your own studio, might I make a suggestion? Instead of flipping a whole bunch of buttons, have 2. A big green one and a big red one. You come to the door, boom, everything goes on. You're good.
Yeah.
You leave, click, everything goes off.
Yeah, screw that. Screw the buttons.
Do we have time?
There you go. The radio clapper.
What the hell with that, man? Just get one of those giant knife switches. Monster movies.
Throw the switch.
That'd be great.
What you need to do is you need to get a pair of fake boobs with a a compression sensor?
Not when I'm drinking.
So that way, all you have to do to turn the lights on and off is just go up to the wall and go,
Yeah, somehow I get the funny feeling that that will not survive you know how the expression is, no battle plan ever survives contact with the enemy? I don't think it would survive contact with one of his co-hosts. That's just me. Yeah. I just don't think that would. Although it would be interesting and entertaining to hear the aftermath after of Mike going, "Yeah, we've got a new setup here in the studio. I'm going to be taking over now while Sam is convalescing in the hospital for the next 14 weeks."
I can just see the subtitle on that one: the post-boobocalypse.
Well, if Sam has to appeal to the opposite gender during the setup, they could make a separate section of the wall, another kind of like a hanging switch, you know? No. Yank it on, yank it off.
Okay, look, all you had to do, Tech, was ask, okay? All right? Are we happy now?
I think we are.
Late, I'm tired. I'm full of it.
And it is about that time. So, first off, of course, all of you who made it to the very end of the show, thank you very kindly. As I said earlier, I know full well that this is not a sexy podcast or vlogcast. It is not the same kind of thing as Scathing Atheist or Thinking Atheist or Atheist Experience of Austin. I like to think that we fill a void that really isn't necessarily there. Going from the beginning of a question to the end of it is a wonderful thing. All the stuff in the middle of it all that really fleshes out what this stuff is, I feel is so much more important because a lot of it, even though there are bunny trails to it all, really makes sense and is something worthwhile to discuss and to really try and figure out why does it all matter. So for those of you that have made it to the very end, of course, thank you very kindly. Really do appreciate it. I'd like to thank the folks tonight. Dallin, thank you very much for your time as always.
Pleasure to be here. Hope to be here next... No, I will not be here next week because I'll be traveling, so.
Okay.
Yeah, by the time the show comes on, I'll be dead.
Fair enough.
Asleep.
Unrenewed Tech, thank you for not being asleep this evening.
The horse ain't dead yet, so we're going to keep flogging it, dude.
Yeah. Well, you know,
that's a thing that hasn't happened on my show.
I usually have to pay for that. If I'm going to get it for free, I'm going to enjoy every damn minute of it.
Good man. Joe, thank you very kindly for your time.
As always, it's a pleasure. I can't even know.
Don't look at me, man. It's not my friend.
I find myself confused and strangely aroused.
Perfect. Are you looking at boobs too?
No.
No, but I have to say, if you really want to break somebody, add squeaky toys as well, because then you're not gonna have a guest host. You're gonna have.
Add squeaky toys with broken squeakers in them.
Great. And of course, I have to very, very grandly thank Becky, because, oh my God, why would you let him do this? Thank you so much, Sam, for joining us this evening. This has been truly an honor on my part, really. And I sincerely hope that you might consider coming back so that we can actually discuss humanism specifically sometime, because that's something that I have not heard anybody really talk through, even though you've kind of talked it through a little bit on your show, and I'd love to have that conversation with you. Thank you very kindly, and plug the hell out of everything. Here's your big opportunity.
Humanists of Washington, you can go to humanistsofwashington.org. Our 4th of July picnic is coming up at Ravenna Park up in Seattle, if you happen to be in the area. And then my radio show can be found at askanatheist.tv. Or if you happen to live in Tacoma, it's on KLAY 1180. If you live in Olympia, it's on KWA. Don't remember the frequency. And if you're in Grand Rapids, it's on WPRR, and there are more stations coming. So, and our podcast, as always, is free. So, you can check us out there.
And it is, let me see if I remember it. It Oh God, I'm trying to remember the camp website, because I mean
CampQuestNorthwest.org.
There we go. See, I knew I could depend on you to pick up the pieces for me. Thank you so much. Oh my God. Anyway, for all of you again who made it to the very end, greatly appreciate it, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you guys soon. I am sincerely hoping that we are able to reschedule Jake for Wharton for next week. I'm looking to see about that. I'm not entirely certain if I'll be able to get him. Last week, as we said, he got called in at 10:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning because of a computer meltdown. Jake, we completely, totally understand. Thank you for, you know, not outright saying, you know, screw you guys. I appreciate it. I said that we would talk bad about you until you reschedule, so that's as far as I'm going to go, because I want you to come back. Please, thank you. And for all of you that have had the opportunity of stopping by because of Ask an Atheist, thank you very kindly. If you have enjoyed what we've done, look back through the catalog and play drop the needle on a couple of points on a couple of the past episodes. If you like what we do, please come back. I am not monetizing these simply because I want to do them from the standpoint of I enjoy the hell out of it. Could I perhaps go onto Patreon and all that stuff? Yeah, probably. But I'm not going to do that simply because I want this to have no ulterior motive. I want it to be out there clean for everybody. I want to do something that I enjoy the hell out of. And I think that's part of the reason why Sam has been so successful. Because, yes, they're doing the money because it's helping to keep the show on the air. But, and you just give me a thumbs up, thumbs down, you enjoy the hell out of what you're doing, don't you, Sam?
This is always what I wanted to do.
Excellent. So for those of you that are planning on coming back, thank you. For those of you that don't, that's okay too. Just keep going out there and learning. That is the biggest piece of it all. For you all, of course, as always, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. Next week's show, I will be on the heels of having done the ride for Roswell. If you'd like to find out a little bit more about it, it is rideforroswell.org. The sign is over this side of me. There you go. The name of the team, if you'd like to donate to mine, is End of Cycle for Sarcoma, and I'll be more than happy to discuss my involvement with it another time. Until later, as always, I say my goodnights for all of you, and then as always, I say my goodnights to my lady, too, because 9 years on, I am still in love. Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. Until the next time, we get to see all of you guys.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.